Well, praise the Lord. God's promises are greater than any problem that you can have. Say it with me. God's promises are greater than my problems. You know, the story is told of a missionary, Allen Grinder, 1794 to 1851. He experienced a lot of physical difficulties and hardships throughout his service for in the service of the Lord. He said, despite all of this, as long as God gives me strength, my failures will not cause me to stop or to quit. In 1851, at the age of 57, he was serving as a missionary on the Pecan Island at the southern tip of South America. They found his diary laying by his side, and in it, it had a record of all of the trials and troubles and loneliness that he had endured. But the last entry in the diary was, "Great and marvelous are the loving kindness of my gracious God." Too many times, people, when they experience a problem or some difficulty, they begin to think that God has forsaken them. And the enemy, of course, really tries to convince you of that, because if he can convince you that when you're experiencing trouble and problems, then he has you on the road to discouragement and failure. But Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." You know, some people try to live a problem-free life. As long as you breathe God's oxygen, you're going to find yourself facing some obstacles and some trouble. You know, some people think that once you get in the life of faith, that it's supposed to be like the Garden of Eden, perfect, with no problems. The truth is that when you start following God, the enemy will do everything he can to discourage you, to get you off track, to get you looking at everything but the Word of God. Now, I don't know about some of you guys, but when I was in my last years in high school and then into college, we had a saying, "Don't sweat the small stuff." I got anybody that was in that era with me, "Don't sweat the small stuff." What did it mean? We meant, hey, don't worry about the small things. Don't worry about being anxious and fearful. To bring that over into a spiritual sense, we need to forget and we need to remember how small these things are that we're facing compared to the promises of God. You know, God will take care of us if we will believe it. You know, Psalms 55:22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light." John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Philippians 4:6-7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." And of course, 1 Peter 5:6-7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that it might exalt you. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now we all know those scriptures. You probably read them many times, just like I have. But you know, you can, we know these scriptures and we know the promises of God, but do you realize we need to be reminded of them over and over again? We need to keep our minds renewed with the Word of God. Instead of getting upset and becoming full of worry when we endure or encounter a problem, a difficulty, we need to remember what the promises of God say. You know, Billy Sunday says we have a God who delights in impossibilities. In fact, when we were there in Warsaw, Indiana, we went to the house where his house is there, and they have a museum there. For you that don't know who Billy Sunday is, go look him up and find out who he was. He was very influential in leading thousands of men to the Lord. Okay? You know, in the natural, it may seem like our life is filled with nothing more than problems and burdens. And yes, we all encounter problems. We all encounter these things. But you know, it makes a difference in how we look at these. Now, Jacob had a lot of problems, and in Genesis 42:36, he said, "You have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin? All things are against me." He saw Jacob's having a pity party here. And then in the NLT, he says it like this: "You are robbing me of my children. Joseph is gone. Simeon is gone. And now you want to take Benjamin too? Everything's going against him." Now, Jacob sort of got in despair. His brother Esau had threatened to kill him. His father, I mean, he had a lot of problems. His father-in-law had tricked him. His wife Rachel had passed. Now, he had been led to believe that his favorite son, Joseph, had been killed. Simeon was in prison in Egypt. Yeah, he had plenty of things to discourage him in life. And you may be like Jacob. You may be tempted to worry and be anxious and burdened down and say, "Man, it's bad. I'm up against it." That's what Jacob would have said here. "Everything's going wrong. My life is a mess." And if all you look at is the natural, then you do have reason to be in despair. Then you do have reason to worry. But if you look at God and realize he is working in your life, even when you can't see it, he's there. His blessings are there. We must remember that everything around us is, and that is going on in our life, is temporary. Paul says it. He says these are temporary things. The Word of God, the promises of God are eternal, and they work. You know, everything on earth is subject to change, but the promises of God never change. You know, a military chaplain decided to keep track of all the worries that the soldiers and their families would come to him with. And he kept this track of all these different worries. And based upon all the problems they were bringing to him through the years, And he found that their worries would fit into the following categories. Worries about things that never happen, 40%. Worries about past unchangeable decisions, 30%. Worries about illness that never happened, 12%. Worries about adult children who were able to take care of themselves, 10%. Worries about problems that really existed. Worries about problems that really existed, 8%. So according to his chart, 92% of all worries are about things that people can't control or about things that do not exist. The truth is that anxiety is rooted in a failure to trust the promises of God. Actually, 92% of the things that they were concerned about is actually based upon the fact that they are failing to trust what God said. And the Word of God tells us not to lean to our own understanding. Too many times we get caught up in the world that we live in. We get caught up in all of the things that's going on around us, and we can't see the answer for the problem. If you'll start looking at the Word of God, the problem will become small and God's Word will become big. You know, I had some stuff in a sermon that I talked about one time. Big God, little devil. Big devil, little God. Come on. It's how you look at things that will make a difference in how you feel, how you act, and what you put your trust in. Oh, that was good. Keep on preaching, Pastor. I believe I will. Thank you. You know, people are always talking about getting ahead in life and getting everything in order. And one person said, I got all my ducks in a row and everything is all right, and somebody shot them. It may seem like you got everything going good, and when you get everything going good, that's when the devil is going to come in and knock over all your ducks. It seems like maybe everything has been destroyed. Everything has gone wrong. It's just horrible. But remember, God's promises will come to pass if you will believe. And it will overcome the trials. It will overcome the temptations. It will overcome despair. It will overcome discouragement. If you won't give up on God, He won't give up on you. Some people have the attitude that they're a failure. You're never a failure until you fail to quit trying. You may feel like it. It may look like it, but get up with God's promises and start marching on. Just because you fell down one time when you were trying to learn to walk, it didn't stop you from learning to walk. Am I right or wrong? Because if it had, you wouldn't be walking today. You see, many times life is filled with things that could make us break out in a sweat. But we need to keep in mind that's really small stuff compared to the promises of God. When we look at ourselves, we may become disappointed. When we look at circumstances, we may become discouraged. When we look at others, we may become disillusioned. But when we look at God, we'll be delivered. Sweating the small stuff magnifies in our minds the possibility of failure. It magnifies harm. It magnifies lack. It magnifies disappointment. But looking at the Word of God will change how we feel and how we see things. Sometimes we allow these things that come against us to become so magnified in our minds that they look or take on unrealistic proportions. Did you know that a shadow is bigger than the person or the instrument that's being magnified? Your shadow is magnified. You know, hey, quit looking at your problems with the devil's magnifying glass and begin to look at your situations with the promises of God. You know, be alert. The enemy is going to come and he is going to attack your mind. That's the only place the enemy can attack you is in your mind. That's why it's so important to renew the mind with the Word of God, so that when the enemy begins talking here, your mind begins to say, hey, that may be what it looks like, and that may be what it is, but it can't stay that way because the Word of God says differently. Instead of talking the situation, instead of talking about the circumstance, start talking about what God said. My dad, and most of you know him, knew him or heard him or seen him in person, a lot of you. He was a stickler. He said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Anytime you would ask him something, if you came to him with a problem, I'd go to him, say something to him, he'd say, son, that's when I was growing up, teenager, he'd say, son, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? And then when I got older, I'm working with him, and I'd go to him, I said, hey, Dad, look at what about this, what about that, what about that? He said, just another opportunity to prove God's Word works. See, it's the way you begin to look at what you're facing and the difficulties that's coming into your life. You can either begin to dwell on them, and the more you think about it, and the more you talk about it, the bigger it gets. Am I talking to anybody this morning? Sometimes we allow the enemy to come in and to try to destroy us. Now, when does he like to hit the hardest? When you're tired and weak in your body from working or whatever, when you're disappointed because something didn't turn out right, when you're hurting, whether it's physically or emotionally or some other way, this is when he likes to hit you the hardest. If you're boxing, in a boxing match, if you get a good shot on somebody, they say, don't back off. Keep pounding. Don't allow them to be able to get their senses back. That's what we need to do when the enemy comes. We need to realize that when we are at our lowest is when he wants to really pound us hard. That's when we got to come out with the word of God coming out of our mouth. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't go under for going over because God is in my boat. Come on now. Another time that he likes to hit you hard is when you're all alone and it seems like everybody has forsaken you. But remember, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When somebody has offended you, he really wants to come into you then. Say, look here, say, don't pay. Hey, look at that. It doesn't do you any good to be a Christian. You might as well come on, throw it in. Look at these people. Look at that. Hey, quit looking at people and start looking at God. You know me. I talk to you about it all the time. Hey, you got to know who you are in Christ, and it don't matter what somebody else says. I don't care what they say. People say stuff about me all the time. So what? They're not the ones that's going to judge me in the end. God's the one that's going to judge me in the end. And what I do has to be in line with his word so that I can receive the reward at the end. You got to be judged on your own ability. Not somebody else. Not your friend. Not your wife. Your husband. Anybody. We are all individuals, and we will be judged by how we do things. I guess when he hits the hardest is in the middle of the night, and he wakes you up and telling you that it's not going to happen. Oh, yeah, you got delivered one time, but it ain't going to happen this time. Of course, now, that hadn't happened to you, but it has to me many, 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 many times. Do I have any friends? If you start thinking about that and dwelling on that, what he's saying to you in your mind, you'll never go back to sleep. You know what I do? I start quoting the word. And then I start praying in the spirit. Next thing you know, I wake up in the morning time. Come on now. The enemy likes to attack at these different points. No use to him to try to attack you right now in the middle of the church service because he knows better than that. I mean, you got all the people around us and we're all worshiping God. He wants to get you when you're out there by yourself. Get you on an island by yourself. If we're not careful, our problem becomes larger in our mind than God's promises are. When we dwell with our thoughts on our difficulty, they become bigger than they really are. You have a choice. You have a choice either to meditate and think about all of the problems, all of the situations, all of the circumstances, all of the things that are happening, or you have a choice to meditate on the Word of God and what the Word of God has to say. It's your choice. You're the one that chooses how you act and react to all of the situations that come your direction. Corey Ten Boom said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Do you know the reason that some people never step out with God is because they can't see what's going to happen. They can't see the end result. You know what? God's never going to show you the end result because he wants you to walk by faith. When I got that first building right over there on the corner and half of the RMA behind it and 6 acres, I had just stepped out in faith. We would just step out in faith. I didn't see the whole picture. That was it. This was blank land. This land become available. And the Lord said, purchase it. Well, I didn't need 50 acres. I just needed what I had. But the Lord said, get it. It become available. The apartment's across the street. We're in receivership. We didn't even have anybody to go into them. But the Lord said to me, see, what I'm trying to show you, I'm using myself. Hey, I couldn't see the future, but God could. So he wants me to trust him, use my faith, and step out and follow him. See, many times people hold back because they can't see beyond that point. Have you ever gone out at night walking with a flashlight? And did you stop because the light couldn't shine on the whole trail, just the right in front of you, but you kept going? Am I right or wrong? That's the way God leads us. And if we're not careful, we'll see problems and back off. But he's just showing us a little bit at a time so he can walk by faith. Amen. Anybody getting anything out of this? Amen. Say it. God's promises are bigger than any problem I can face. You see, we need to realize that God is for us and we need to dwell there. And we need to dwell on the fact that God will take care of us. We need to dwell on the fact that God will do it again and again and again and again and again. There is never any end. The promises of God are forever. You know, Jeremiah 17:7 says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. You go driving out across, even out in western Texas, western Oklahoma, and then go on west, out across there, those, you know, you look out across there and it's just dry, but off in the distance you see a line of trees. Guess what? There's a little stream there or a river. Anybody ever notice that? Yeah. Because that's the only, they can't grow out there in that because there's no water, but they're there. You can't continue to grow and to have success unless you stay in the with the promises of God. Stay in the Word of God. That's where your strength comes from. The sustenance for those trees, that's what he was saying here. These trees that are planted along the riverbank, Jeremiah said, their roots reach deep and they're not bothered by heat or cold are the long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Why? Because they are connected to the source. If you, and that's the problem with a lot of people, they start facing problems and difficulties. Instead of coming to church, instead of staying with the word, they go the other direction and they dry up. Come on. We look into God's word to get the proper perspective on what's going on in our life. If we have a problem, God has a promise. In a trying situation, God has a solution. In a crisis, God cares. When you're hurting, God has healing. When you're anxious, God gives you assurance. In times of lack, God is the provider. When you're disappointed, God reminds us of our destiny. You know, God's promises are greater than any problem you'll ever face. You know, little story I have here, Rachel and Jim owned a commercial building, and half of it is Jim used for his dental practice. And for 15 years, they'd had no problem renting out the other side, in which their income from that helped pay their mortgages and pay their bills and so forth. And then they lost their renter. And the real estate agent said, oh, don't advertise. Nobody's renting right now. So there they were. So Rachel was swimming laps at the pool. One day she was feeling really anxious about this because they were sort of up against it now. They didn't have the income coming in from the rental side. So she is swimming laps. She decided that she had just begun to think about God and who he was. And so she just, as she is swimming, she just started out, said, A, well, God is my advocate. B, God is my blessed hope. C, God cares. D, God delivers. E, God is our ever-present help in trouble. She just started thinking about the alphabet and just started thinking about God. And she is swimming laps. E, God's ever present to help in the time of trouble. F, God is faithful to perform what he said in his word. G, God is greater than anything that exists. And by this time, it's time for her to quit. But man, she was just so excited about what God can do. And she said, okay, God is this and God's going to take care of us. And it wasn't but 2 days later, a person walked in that had a physical therapist walked in and said, I need to rent that building. See, when she quit worrying about what the situation was and started focusing on who God was and what God can do, things began to change. They changed in her and they changed in the natural. We say this all the time, but if God began a work in your life, he'll finish it. If he started something, he doesn't quit. Now, many times we start projects and they're still in our garage. God starts a project, he doesn't quit, he finishes it. The only way he'll quit is if you quit working with him. Of course, we know Philippians 1:6 says, and I am certain that God who began a good work within you will continue to work until it's finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. I want you to notice that he said that this work wouldn't be finished until Jesus returns. Takes us out of here. Instead of looking at how big the problem is, look at how great God is. Instead of fretting about what's going on, begin to focus on God's faithfulness. Instead of pondering on your problem, begin to meditate on the promises of God. Don't look at the problem. Look at God's promise. Say this with me. God's promises are greater than my problems. You know, I hope that this has blessed you, but I can say with great confidence, no matter what I have faced, God has, when I stood on his promises, he has always come through. Put your trust in the promises of God, and he will take care of you. Excuse me. Everybody stand, please. Did you get anything out of this? Say this with me again. God's promises are greater than any problem I can face. His promises are working when I can't see it, when I can't feel it. God is still working. His promises never, 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 never stop working. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.